This is Deacon Mike, and welcome as we examine the readings for the fifth Sunday of Lent in Cycle C. At this time, I ask you to take your Bible and turn to the Old Testament and find the book of the prophet Isaiah and to read from chapter 43, verse 16 to 21. Along with Jeremiah and Ezekiel, Isaiah is considered one of the three major prophets, major in the sense that more of their prophecy stories have been preserved. Today's reading comes from what scholars refer to as Deutero-Isaiah or Second Isaiah. Chapters 1 to 39 deal with reasons for the destruction of Jerusalem and the Babylonian captivity. Chapters 40 to 55, from which today's selection comes, concerns the sorrow and consolation of the chosen people, of their spiritual liberation, and then chapters 55 through 66 deal with the vision of a new Jerusalem. In chapter 42, a series of questions was being asked. Why has this happened to the chosen people? Today, we get the answers. They have gone astray. The people are reminded of the Exodus event, when the Lord led them through the mighty waters to a new land. The word is given that as he did before when they were held captives in Egypt, God will do it again now that they are held in Babylon. But he will also do something new. For not only will they be led back home, but now the very desert will flourish as a sign of his promise. Even the dry deserts of their souls will come alive with new purpose. For our New Testament reading, I ask you to turn to Paul's letter to the Philippians and read from chapter 3, verses 8 to 14. As we did earlier this year during the second Sunday of Lent, we return to Paul's letter to the Philippians. This is often referred to as the letter of joy, and today's section informs the Philippians and us that real joy comes from Christ alone. Paul has been explaining how the law, in and of itself, cannot redeem sin. Many at the time felt that by strictly observing the physical requirements of the law, they would be saved from sin. But something more is needed. While following the law is not to be dismissed or taken lightly, only Christ can save us from sin. And then, in a relational context, while not clear to us in today's passage, the readers of the time would understand by Paul's use of the word know what he meant. This word, K-N-O-W, did not mean knowing from the book, but knowing him by experiencing him in person, experiencing his love and mercy in their hearts, just as it is today. Our gospel reading for the fifth Sunday of Lent comes from the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Instead of reading from the Gospel of Luke on this fifth Sunday of Lent in Cycle C, we turn to John's Gospel, chapter 8, and specifically where we hear of the woman caught in adultery. The scribes and Pharisees are wanting to weaken and maybe even destroy the followers of this upstart rabbi from Nazareth, who has been upsetting their finely tuned apple cart. And here was the perfect opportunity. The law of Moses commanded that this woman be stoned. And knowing of Jesus' preaching of mercy, forgiveness, and love, ask for his opinion. It was meant as a trap, for if Jesus had said yes, he could be reported to the Roman authorities. For the Roman law forbid Jews to administer capital punishment. And if Jesus had said no, here was the proof they needed to proclaim Jesus as a false Messiah, one who went against the law of Moses. Many have wondered about verse 6, where Jesus bends down and writes on the ground. There is no definite answer in the Gospels or in apostolic tradition as to what he was writing. Perhaps, and this is mere speculation on the part of scholars, that Jesus is writing a reference to the prophet Jeremiah, where in chapter 7, verses 12 to 13, it is written, "Those who have turned away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord." Whatever he wrote, between that and his telling to let the one without sin be the first to throw stone, it worked. The trap had been reversed. Interestingly, it is not the scribes or Pharisees who turn away first. It was the elders, the wisest among them, who realized the brilliance and thought-provoking meaning of his reply. Would we have turned away? Would we have realized, as Pope Francis so brilliantly reminded us, who are we to judge? This is Deacon Mike reminding you to live the Word.